You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to Hot D, the officially unofficial podcast for House of the Dragon on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
Today we're talking Season 1, Episode 8, The Lord of the Tides. This is the instant take. Aaron, we just watched the episode. What'd you think?
I thought this was an incredible episode. I am just blown away by how much better this is than it reads on the page. You know, like, and just how much everything is working so much better. Like, I know there's another big time jump to this week, and I think people are going to, you know, if you were kind of on the ropes with the time jumps, like, I don't think this helps you add any, because it's another sizable, I don't know, 3 to 5-ish year time jump. But like, man, it just, everything works so much better with everything that's come before. Like, they really sell that moment where Viserys almost did it. He almost, just with the sheer force of his will and the love of his family, kind of got past it. At least I thought. He really touched Alicent and Rhaenyra, and made something happen here. And that, I think that only really works with their deep background, where it's like, maybe at some points, at a certain point in time, they can be recalled, like, Jesus Christ, how did it ever get to this far? You know, if you don't have Otto time to run over there and say his bullshit and everybody else, like, it's like he almost did it. And I thought Viserys, I've liked Viserys this whole season, but I thought he was fucking heroic in this episode. Mm-hmm. Like, it was filmed and shot like Boromir taking all those broom shafts to the chest. Like, he's sacrificing himself to save people he loves. Mm-hmm. And I felt all that. I was genuinely moved at him thinking that he had saved his family. Like, you know, like when he sags to his seat and he's just so happy to see the thing that he's always wanted to see all these years come to pass. I thought it was great. It just really worked for me. Start to finish. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I do think this has the potential to be a divisive episode, because I think a lot of people are on the fence, both with time jumps, but also with some of the pacing of this show. You know, everybody sees like an episode where there aren't dragons flying around and no fire is shot and there aren't battles and things like that. And there's a potential to see this as a slow episode. But I was riveted the entire time, just from the both stakes for the realm, but also the personal stakes, the emotional stakes that we had in all of this. I mean, even scenes as simple as Rhaenyra coming to Rhaenys and pleading with her to, you know, do what she views as the right thing here, to, and then offering, you know, deals that she's not sure she's going to take. And it's so good. And it's so, all those moments are so subtle. And it doesn't have to be like over the top. I mean, there's one of Viserys, you know, climbing Mount Iron Throne there to sit on it. But everything else is just so mundane seeming. But the stakes are so high on all this stuff that it just, the tension is off the charts. And I loved it, every second of it.
And that's the thing. It's like, yes, the pacing. But like, you know, this is the calm before the storm, I think. Mm-hmm. And the tension that they're building, like when Daemon steps to Aemon, when Daemon reminds us that he's still a badass, like, he bisected Daemon's head and left the tongue, I think, deliberately, just to show how badass he is. Mm-hmm. When you see how much genuine enmity are between these boys at this point, you're like, it's just ratcheting up the tension so that when this dam finally breaks, it's going to be, you know, that much more interesting.
I'm not buying some of it. I I don't know. You see this as like, I guess, a moment where you could see through all of the fog of like the historical drama in this family and the heir business and what the realm wants and all that stuff. You could see a path out of it if this family just came together a little bit more. I think you're right, but to me, I'm always in the back of my mind, and maybe this is, you know, what ultimately dooms that whole potential. I'm always thinking Allison is being way too kind, way too gentle, way too different from how she was before. I'm not buying it. And the thing that really throws me for a loop here, and like throws all the other stuff with like Rhaenyra and the coming together it to the wind for me, is this scene with Diana, where she gives her a sack of gold and has her drink some tea that I don't think is moon tea. I don't think that's preventative maintenance for Diana there. I think that's Diana's final drink.
We might never see Diana again.
Yeah. That's my guess.
Like, she's gone missing from the Red Keep. Yeah, after that fucking speech she gave about, you know, essentially hashtag believe all serving girls. And then,
right?
By the way, I'm the only one. And like, it's... Like I said, you know, I think I think people declaring themselves IRL to be greens and blacks kind of maybe slow your roll and give it a few more weeks before you want to declare allegiances or that you want to declare allegiance to anyone that's still alive that can disappoint you and hurt you, because hoo boy. But yeah, you wonder. I think you're supposed to wonder that. And from the book's perspective, like when they talk about a scene kind of like the scene kind of like this, I think you get the idea that they were doing an act, a deliberate act, you know, that they were like false niceties and platitudes and, you know, just to placate the king and make him happy. And I thought that it was a smart choice to kind of make us wonder, like, maybe he did, and maybe if things could just stay here for a minute or two, maybe if he could, if Viserys could keep breathing for a few more years.
Hightower smiled.
if Otto would just like fucking be cool for 1 minute. But, you know, of course, that's you know, so, but I thought it's interesting that the show kind of like made me think that, like, maybe, you know, it could have gone down this way. But it plays beautifully both ways, that like, you know, that the daughter and the wife are going to love the man enough to like, okay, well, let's give him his. But I think you're supposed to also, like, going back to the poison, aren't you supposed to at least suspect what the hell they're putting in his cup?
Yeah, when Daemon smells it early on, I'm like, hey, what is he smelling? Is he smelling something he recognizes as milk of the poppy? And
maybe
like
it's milk of the poppy, like this is a lot of the milk of the poppy, or
maybe it's too much.
But, you know,
or it could be something more. And I think that the episode shows a lot of restraint, too. And that's what makes it so good, is because I desperately, through this episode, wanted to see a scene with Alicent and Laris. I'm like, that will help me calibrate on Allison, if I can just see how she's interacting with Laris these days.
And you're not going to see it, at least this episode.
Yeah, they don't show it to us, and I think that's smart of them. They give us Masseria? That's her name. Masseria.
We got the other skulky doer of ill deeds,
And I'm thinking, okay, is she getting in on this somehow? Is like, maybe Allison isn't poisoning him, but maybe she snuck her spies in. I don't know. And so, but they only like show her, right? And she seems like she might be in a far off land. Maybe just getting messages about things. And we don't really know what role she's playing. And they're pretty good with the restraint there too.
Yeah, but I just keep going back to, like, because I think it plays no matter how much you know about the book or how little you know about the book, because I felt like that dinner scene plays like, okay, the adults might be just letting the old man have his last, or it could be that maybe they are genuinely deciding that this is crazy, but the kids, you know, it's like, what if Jace doesn't dance with Helena? What if Aegon doesn't, you know, talk at Jace's betrothed? What if the boys all collectively don't try to serve up Aemond to Pink Dread? and wound his pride one more time and make him stand up and call them all strong, which is, again, that's I was waiting for that line too to come out of his mouth of these very strong boys. Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like, but that's that fucks it all up. Yeah.
Let me ask you this with the pink dread stuff. So last episode we saw Aemond mount Vhagar and start riding Vhagar. Is Vhagar dead at this point? Has Vhagar passed? Why would this pink dread thing score at all then?
I think they're just fucking like they literally like asked the servants as a special thing to serve him this roast pig just as kind of like. And I don't think that they meant it to be like a real venomous slight. It's more of like, ha ha, look at what we did when we were kids.
Well, but look Aemond, at him. You think that guy's going to take a joke? Are you kidding
me? This guy looks like Punished Solid Snake, and he's going to like, you know, he's going to like, appreciate your bullying of him. Okay, let me ask you this. Did Matt Smith watch like all of the fucking Witcher between the last season and this, or the last episode, this episode? Because he is fucking biting Superman. Like that's like, and which I love it, but it's very Witchery. It's very Witchery. And I noticed that Aemond was doing the same shit too.
Oh yeah. I mean, Aemond, my God, I was, so it was really interesting to see him actually toast. Cause I'm, In my head, I'm thinking the entire time as everybody's going around the table toasting. I'm like, you know, I want to see what Aemond toasts to because that guy looks so fucked up.
He stood up conspicuously and like,
yeah. And then when he does actually toast to like lack of strength, I guess is what he's toasting to. I guess it was appropriate, but yeah, I had no idea what he would toast to. But that was a great scene. Holy shit.
Yeah, I love that that guy looks like a cross between like a Lazy Town villain and Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
He's like, Aemond is just a weird dude. He's a deeply weird dude.
And they couldn't have got a more pursed lip douchebag looking guy to play him. I mean, I'm sure the guy, I'm not saying anything against the actor here, but like the way he's portraying him, it is just like the shittiest. It's going to be another Joffrey situation, honestly. I'm going to hate this guy just as much as I hate
Joffrey. But he's smart and he's determined and he's got some legitimate skills. Because that's the other thing. It's like if you're asking like who's got who in the coming war, there's like this paper, rock, scissors where we know that Sir Criston Cole is capable of beating Daemon. Aemond is capable of beating Cole. Could Daemon beat Aemond? Because, like, man, when Aemond clearly was going to, like, handle Jace and Luke probably both at the same time, because he's just very skilled at the blitz. When Daemond got up and was like, no, boy, sit down. I want to take your dome off like I did Uncle Vaymond. I thought, like, I was just like, holy shit, this is going to be fucking cool. They really are doing a good job of making that, like, man, who would win in that scenario? Who would win if they're fighting? Who would win if they're dragon fighting? Who would win if they're commanding an army? Like, this is the tension that they're
fighting dirty. Like,
yeah,
because Daemond doesn't fight fair. I don't think I've seen Daemond fight fair.
Right. And Aemond got a fistful of pocket sand in his last combat. So he should know to expect the dirty tricks and maybe dish them out himself. It's fucking cool. Like all this stuff keeps layering on, and I just think that every hour of television we've got is make us this much more interested and intrigued by the stakes. And like I said, I see it in real life, people taking sides of the greens and the blacks. I've never quite seen this kind of energy in a fan base before. It's like Super Bowl energy between like hated divisional rivals. I guess conference rivals. You'd have to be intra conference rivals to on the Super Bowl. But there is
Yankees versus Red Sox fans,
or
right?
Like Colts versus Patriots back. Well, they couldn't have a Super Bowl like that. I'm struggling to think of like who are the ones that just like keep. But that kind of like just like historical bat, they've in 8 weeks, I feel like developed 20 years of rivalry between like sports teams and stuff. It's insane out there. It's insane. I fear for King's Landing on the night of the championship, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to
flip over yellow cloak wagons and and they're going to push over street signs, and it's just going to be a real bad
I don't recommend trying to flip a dragon. They get angry. They don't like that. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you jump 20 years through these people's lives, right? And just show us like the most important moments, the points where like their relationship develops the most quickly.
No. Steelers versus Cowboys. Good. Matt, Lakers versus Celtics. Exactly that kind of just like, I fucking hate you energy and I loathe you. Like, that's what the fan bases are bringing, but not for or against a show, for or against elements inside a show. Yeah. I can't be happier. This is awesome.
And then I'm super interested to see what happens with Corliss, because they tease through this whole episode like Corliss. There's something wrong with him.
Is he dead?
He might still live. Rhaenys is making all of these decisions for him, as I guess Queen Regent, not Regent. Mm-hmm.
What you call it. It's Regent. Yeah, she's the I guess the hand is technically ruling, but with the Queen right there at the side of the throne, like it's definitely a Hightower show. This is a kangaroo court.
Oh, no, I was thinking Rhaenys, like with Rhaenys ruling over in Driftmark and making all the decisions for Corliss. What is he going to say about the arrangement she's made with Bela and Lucerys when he gets back, if he gets back?
Well, I think he's in favor of all this. Like, this is what he wanted. Yeah, you know, like, okay. Like Rhaenys is being pretty leal as a wife and a speaker of her husband's interest here. I like the scene. What'd you think of Daemon securing 3 eggs out of Syrax's clutch? I thought that was cool. Like, just a, you know, like how fucking dangerous it is. He's going rock climbing, spelunking after these dragon eggs.
Yeah, I thought for a second he was pulling like Laura Dern from Jurassic Park and just wanted to get his arm. Like, this was dragon shit and he just wanted to get his arms in it for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, when he pulled the eggs out, I was like, oh wait, are these the 3 eggs?
Yeah.
The famous ones that go missing and then return in Game of Thrones.
So there's a lot of interesting lore things to talk about that I'm not fully processed. There was a lot of things where they like said, you know, during Jace's Valyrian, where they're talking about Aegon cutting down trees. And I'm like, well, this is really fucking interesting. And they do a little bit more of the recitation of the Song of Ice and Fire. But just for clarity, I think that Viserys mistook Alicent for Rhaenyra, which he had been making the opposite mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, did Alicent know that? Or does she think that she has just got a divine mandate from the king?
I think Alicent,
so she knows.
She has to know, right?
This is a Jacob Esau where she's kind of sliding in and using her the patriarch's confusion to kind of steal a birthright situation.
And I don't know if hearing that, and realizing that, oh, he made Rhaenyra heir because he thinks there's some divine purpose to it, if that's going to soften her toward Rhaenyra, if that's going to make Rhaenyra more sympathetic to her, or if she's going to just get angry that she's like, the Viserys was delusional or something like that, right?
Right, because she thinks this is all heathen bullshit, right? Do you think she takes Helena seriously or these dragon dreams seriously?
I can't tell yet. I can tell that she's very into the Seven, but the faith of the
Seven. I would
like
to know how she reconciles the Targaryen-ness of everything with this her faith of the Seven, because I kind of get the feeling that you're right, that she's hearing this and horrified, like, oh my God, this is all about this pagan dragon bullshit. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's like if suddenly on deathbed you found out your parents were giving away your inheritance to like Scientology, right? It's like, oh, yeah, what the fuck? Yeah.
What would that feel like to have a parent try to disinherit you in favor
of
religion?
I don't know.
I couldn't speculate.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, another thing. What'd you think about the twin Kingsguard? We got Eric and Eric. This is like one of those blink if you missed it. There's identical twin Kingsguards practicing with each other in the fighting field. And Queen Alicent says, hey, you know, how are you doing this morning, Sir Eric? And he goes, I'm Sir Eric. Oh, right. I can't tell you. They're establishing that there's two Kingsguard that are identical twins.
What are we doing?
How fun.
What the fuck are we doing? Talk about the seed being strong. It's making duplicates everywhere. What about these Lannister boys?
Yeah, nobody's got Seed like Sir Xerox. he's got Eric and Eric Xerox, and they're clones of each other. No, I think that's cool. That's cool. It's a blink if you miss it, but they're setting up these guys that are control C, control V's of each other, and they're in the Kingsguard. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna lose it, man. I can't deal. And the fact that Aemond and Daemon are just anagrams of each other. What the fuck? What are we doing?
There was a point where you had Rhaena, Rhaenyra, Rhaenys, and like I thought maybe the actors would be like, "This is crazy shit, right?" You know, like yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
There's a couple points where I know a lot of people haven't been sold on Emma D'Arcy, but I thought that they really channeled Millie Alcock. Like there's a couple scenes where she was frustrated and kind of put on her back foot and also calling some bullshit where it's like, I felt like, holy fuck, this is so clearly the exact same character. I don't know if that's still a popular, like, I don't know if that... I'm really interested to hear what David Chin has to say, because I know he was one of the big, you know, grumpy Gusses when it comes to the time jumps and kind of like feeling a little bit adrift. But man, I thought they did such a great job of nailing the continuity of the character in a way that still doesn't feel as much as I like Olivia Cooke. She is such more of a harsh, shrewish character. Like her, Rhaenyra essentially stayed the same person, but Alicent really went through a transformation. You know,
yeah, I'm think getting you whiplash can, it's on easy, that too, though.
It's easy to see, like, you know, the decade, it's easy to do the math on that and see it, but like she did have she transformed, unlike Rhaenyra, who essentially stayed the same. But I thought I think
Rhaenyra was living easy breezy, carefree life,
yeah,
right?
Alicent's
living under
overall,
the threat
yeah.
of murder of her children. So, yeah, totally.
100%.
I don't know. That stuff is really good. I have been having whiplash with Alicent these last couple episodes because, boy, I didn't like her last episode.
Yeah.
And I see a path out of that darkness for her here, and she's playing it up. She's acting like she's going to come back from the brink, but I don't know. I'm still side-eyeing her. But she was winning me back over this episode.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. Oh, we also got confirmation on at least Rhaenys got the message loud and clear that you murdered my son, you sons of bitches. And yeah. I was wondering, it's like, is Rhaenyra going to offer her like, okay, if you back my play, I'll let you see your son.
Oh,
I'm like, no,
boy.
There's no fucking way you can do that. Right? Right?
No. I mean, you can't even make that offer. You let it out that he's not actually dead, and I mean, you lose her, right? Like you lose Rhaenys there.
I think so. And I just again, talking about, I've always been pretty high on Viserys. He's always been a little bit of a goof, but you know that scene where he's like, you know, what if I was tested? And him like dragging his like, you know, going from like, I don't want the milk of the poppy, I want supper, I want this thing, and him climbing the steps. When and his like, you know, having some real iron in his voice, it's like I must admit my confusion. Pardon the doddering old fuck, but how are we having a petition about settled matters? And
That impressed me because like half of his head is gone, but not the part that contains his mind, because he's still very sharp.
He's still very sharp. He gets things confused because I think he's going blind and all this other stuff. But like his mind does. And like when Rhaenyra came to him, and again, he was all clouded, the milk of poppy. But she said, Dad, essentially, if we're supposed to unite the realm and I was so important, then don't you think you should at least fight for me? And like through the haze that penetrated, and he's like, fuck mm-hmm. yeah, I've got to. And I love like he's like shooing the Kingsguard away. Even though I've read the book and I it would be a pretty big deviation for something like this to happen. I was so scared that he's going to trip and just impale himself on swords.
Me too.
Or the Alicent was going to do a, oh, my lord husband, how can you, oh shit, and push him into the swords or something. And like, this like, oh my God, shit could get crazy, right? Uh-huh. But when like he's like shooting and he goes away to shoot like with some real anger at this Kingsguard and he realizes it's his brother. It got me, man. Like, yeah, this is what all good. This shit, the back and forth about them has been about. And Damon putting the crown back on his head. Ah,
mm-hmm.
Oh, it's so good
stuff.
It's so good. It's so good.
You know,
I guess this means I'm on Team Black, that this is working for me.
Yeah, so far.
Is this why I'm sure. getting so much venom for you greens? I just think it's, I'm not saying Viserys is right. I just think it's an act of bravery and courage and love what he's trying to do for his family here. You know, it's like, it's not because I think that Rhaenyra is awesome and she should be queen. I just think it's like hella good drama. And it got me, this poor old man, this poor deluded old man.
Yeah. No, it's really good. This Damon stuff. I'm just like, man, is this going to be what it takes to finally bring them back together? But then the end of this episode, I have to ask you, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this. Do you think Viserys is still alive?
I have to say mildly interesting, right? Because who knows? He might, the maesters, because the thing is, I think they hinted that Rhaenyra was asking about new maesters, like maybe like questioning about like what kind of care he's. So, you know, like it's we've seen him have miraculous resurrections before. Mm-hmm. And he's not that old. That's the thing. It's like, he's only a few years older than Matt Smith's character, who looks like a, you know, like the image of Aegon the fucking Conqueror, it must be said. Like, always thought his wig didn't look that bad, but like fucking Matt Damon looks like a Giga Chad in this episode.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I read the end of this episode is he's dead, but we'll see.
I mean, when he's taking these rattled breaths, and she's just giving him a big shot of the poppy, and who knows what else, and he's saying no more, and then fade to black, my love. I feel like he's mm-hmm. this is Sanford and Sons. Fred's going to Lisbeth, you know, sure. But for real this time. This isn't a fake. Like that's what I think I got out of that scene, but.
But honestly, I thought that when he collapsed at the wedding,
when he collapsed, twice. I thought the exact same thing. I thought that they were going to. I thought that at that point, it's like, because I was always wondering, I was like, are you guys going to like speed run through this family strife? Because I worried about like in the book, it's not that particularly interesting. It's very petty. You know, some of it is just like, you know, not that great, but like the way they are weaving this narrative, which is incredibly faithful to the book. But yet so much better, so much better in terms of like, you know, hot gossip and great, better motivations and just like, fuck yeah. Because, you know, like I want to see this person dead or I want to see this person kill this other person. Like they are just really nailing that. Whereas like I remember reading Fire and Blood and that's part of like, man, I'm halfway through the dance and I still don't know what team I'm on. Like who fuck all these people.
Yeah.
I definitely have, you know, like I said, I thought Viserys was a cool guy and could have been a good king and just had some bad breaks. Just had bad breaks and hit the vice he had in the genetics and the fact that him and his wife just couldn't make heirs happen. Like he just didn't have a chance. Didn't have a chance. He was never going to be an Aegon the Conqueror, but he could have been somebody like Jaehaerys. I think he just never could quite get it together. Maybe I'm overselling his shares because he was such a fucking badass. Like I said, like they filmed him taking those steps like Jon Snow standing against the cavalry charge of the fucking Boltons, right? Mm-hmm. Like is every bit of like this is one man standing against impossible odds. And I think that was cool.
Yeah, I did too.
golly. I suppose, do you have anything, just reminding everybody, if you're watching us live in the audience, feel free to put stuff in chat. That's we're harvesting questions, comments, concerns, theories as you type them, for us to be considered in the instant talk that we're just about to get to. Do you have any other things you want to talk about?
I do not.
I guess one other thing, I couldn't help but hear Helena mutter another prophecy about beware the beast beneath the boards.
Oh, right.
I don't know if that was Aegon's boner underneath the table, and she was warning the next servant girl from beyond the grave or what, but like, she keeps saying super interesting stuff, man.
Yeah, I don't know how that factors in, but I'll keep it in mind.
All right. We are going to get to the instant talk portion. The instant take is now concluded. If you think it would be a cool idea to get these instant takes instantaneously, watch it as we record it live, and also be able to maybe chime in your two cents, you might want to be a club member, because you can do all those things through the club, as well as get ad-free feeds on all of our podcast feeds. Go to support.baldmove.com and check out the club bald move option. We'd love to have you join. hotd@baldmove.com is how you send in feedback. If you got some long form stuff, we're going to have a big lots of discussion this week. That episode will come out Thursday. hotd@baldmove.com is how you send in feedback to that. And you can follow along our release schedule and stay up to date with everything we're doing here at Bald Move at twitter.com/baldmove.